I'm Ted Baker in the studios of WEOS and WHWS at the Scandling Center here at the colleges. This is the Hobart Football Podcast, Episode 15, Week 4, Hobart at Keystone, La Plume, Pennsylvania, Scranton-Wilkes-Barre area. 1:30 kickoff this Saturday. I'm with the head coach of the Statesman, Kevin DeWall. Welcome back.
Good morning, Ted.
Well, a good football team, when it faces adversity, you put it in the rearview mirror, you work hard, you fix what has to be fixed. You go out and play good football. All those boxes were checked in a 17-0 win over St. John Fisher.
Yeah, it was a good response for our guys, and I'm happy with the it was really, you look at the body of work, it was the preparation. You know, they didn't. We met on Sunday after the loss in week two, knowing that we didn't play up to our standards, and we talked about what can we control. We can't take that back, but taking good care of the football, we did that. You know, played hard and tackled on defense, did that. And then more importantly, just organized from top to bottom. I thought we played a more complete game, except for the second half finish, especially from the offensive side of the ball. But, you know, so it was a step in the right direction. The good news is, again, coaching off of a win, we didn't play a perfect game. We didn't play a complete game yet. And then that's what we're focused on this week is how can we go play a complete 60-minute game and be happy with, you know, the results more based off of our performance and our preparation.
I think when giving out game balls for that game, one should have gone to you and your staff. You had a retooled offensive line. You basically, for reasons that we'll get into, kind of remade your whole passing attack and really had to make a lot of adjustments.
Yeah, I was pleased, and all the credit goes to our players. But, you know, that in the middle of the – actually early on in that game against Morrisville State, we had a lot of moving parts. And as a head coach or a coordinator, you don't like to have too many moving parts unless it's something you've planned and prepared for. And just partly because of, you know, what we talked about last week, some injuries and some suspensions, we had some different guys playing different roles in that Morrisville State game that just unfortunately didn't perform as well as they needed to. So given a week of preparation, I thought we prepared well. There was moving parts at the O-line, moving part at the skill positions on offense, and I was just really pleased. I thought it was the O-line was who I thought performed really well. Compared to the first 2 weeks, it was the O-line group that played much more unified and cohesive. And when they do that, that allows, you know, Tim Denham, you saw, had his best game of this season. You know, he's starting to feel a little bit better, but he also performs better when the O-line and tight end group performs better. And it also allowed us to be really efficient in the passing game because of once the running game got started, we kind of dictated what the coverages were going to be from the other team, which allows us to, you know, it's just amazing how everything kind of works a little bit better and everyone started to do their 1-11th a little bit better. And all of a sudden now it looks like we're an offense that easily could have done that the week before. Just with moving parts, we didn't get into that rhythm.
I want to start my focus on the defensive side of the ball with a shutout. I mean, that group makes the biggest plays in the biggest situations. They'll give up a play, gave up a big bomb on the first play from scrimmage, but when a possession or a game is really on the line is when they play the best.
Yeah, that was the sign of a good defense, I think, sometimes is when you do have your back against the wall, how do you respond? Like you mentioned that from the team standpoint. I thought that's a very good representation for what our defense did on Saturday. You know, St. John Fisher hit some plays. They did move the ball at times, you know, and I think of some key fourth down stops combined with a couple turnovers. We still have a lot of areas we can improve on from tackling and containing the quarterback are two big areas that I thought we didn't do as well as we needed to on defense. But yet when the moment needed to someone step up or make a play or, you know, like I said, the defensive front and linebackers did a really good job on some of the short yardage coming up and making a play, you know, where it could have been the guy fell forward and we got the second or third tackler in there to knock him back to make sure that, you know, we didn't reach the sticks. So ultimately, you know, anytime you pitch a shutout, it's usually well-earned. And in that situation, I thought our defense, and that's why, you know, there was a handful of guys that were up for game ball consideration on the defense side of the ball.
We talked about the linebackers you lost to graduation, and I mean, these guys are stepping up. You want hitting linebackers. Anthony Romano hits anybody in sight. And then I was watching the highlight of the Peterson-Menexon interception. He was showing blitz on that play. He was on the line of scrimmage at the snap and had the presence of mind to read the play, drop back 15 yards, just watch the quarterback, and when he got in trouble, close on the ball and make a great pick.
Yeah, I think the two guys that gained really a significant amount of experience last year were Jamin Bliss and Anthony Romano. And those two guys right now, I think, are playing pretty good complete games, both in the run and the pass. I think Peterson's getting better week by week, and I thought he had his best game to date. And not just, you know, people look at the stats, but just how he's playing. Like, for example, on that one, he's disguising when he's coming versus when he's dropping. And similar to some of the Wills we've had in the past, you think of some of the Emmett Fords and, you know, Devin Worthington's. Team's going to start keying that position, but more importantly, you don't know if he's coming or not. And I think that is a huge part of our defense, is just not always knowing where they're coming from. And then we still have a handful of, you know, four or five other linebackers that had showed signs of some good plays last week. And at the same time, we know we can get more consistent performances out of them, and just the physicality in the run game too, with them inserting in. So that's what we're hoping this week, that we take another step forward with that group of young linebackers, getting another week of experience.
The secondary, like you said, they gave up one big play early. I think after that, their biggest play the rest of the game was 15 yards. Good coverage and good battles for the ball. I mean, they took a couple of balls away in the end zone that might have been scores.
Yeah, I mean, I think Coach Green and the defensive staff kind of saw, you know, how we were matching up front and didn't dial up as many pressures, all-out pressures. Which puts then the defensive backs more in zone coverage. And we had a couple guys that had missed some time last week in practice for some illnesses that played, but, you know, maybe weren't at full strength. And I think that might have attributed a little bit to it. But when we were rotating through, you know, four or five safeties and four or five corners, so the combinations thereof, again, I like the experience we're gaining in the back end. And as we start to get in some of these teams that are a little bit more pass heavy, which we didn't see the first 2 weeks, you know, Fisher kind of got to that point when we got that lead going, that they kind of boarded the run a little bit, and now it was all pass. And I think that, you know, bodes well for our blitz schemes and matchups up front to get some pressure on the quarterback, but also the multiple coverages we're going to try to put on the back end of it.
You hadn't been blitzing as much this year as I've seen in years past, but in that game in the second half, when it became obvious they had to pass, you started dialing up a lot of blitz and put a lot of pressure. That's what led to the interception. One guy hit the quarterback, another guy just hit him as he let go of the ball, and that led to the pick.
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways to, you know, define pressures. So we'll do some, you know, being mostly an odd man front, three defensive linemen. A lot of times we're going to insert one or two linebackers, and it's really the combinations thereof. I think what it is we haven't played as much man coverage yet. We still are bringing that fourth and fifth guy, but masking it with some zone coverages and cloud coverages behind it, trying to give quarterbacks multiple, you know, looks on the back end to figure out what they're trying to do. So, again, we're going to continue to do that. We do have confidence in our defensive backs that we will play some man coverage as we get going, and we're going to need to in some situations. And just, you know, at that point in that game, it was a lot of, you know, we had keyed a couple of their top receivers who they were targeting, and it gives us the ability, because we know in the weeks ahead, we're going to face some quarterbacks and some offenses that are going to be heavy, heavy pass.
The offensive line, you talked about how they played. Kieran Paskowitz moves over to the left tackle. Ashton Mejias gets a start, his first one of his career at left guard. Is that part of why you put Paskowitz on the left, is to have a veteran guy next to a young guy?
We tried to, if you can. It just helps. Ashton played, you know, most of the game in Morrisville State because we had the injury go down in the first quarter there. So he got about three and a half quarters of action in that game, and he had a good week. I just think right now our experience is at the tackle position. So we actually moved Frucci out to the right side and Paskowitz to the left with Ben Frank out, our three seniors. So it just happens to be that's where those guys gain some more experience. And it's a little bit easier to play inside as a younger guy because you got some people next to you helping out and communicate. But, you know, Ashton, to his credit, he's gotten significantly better in the last couple weeks. And you know, not a surprise, the more experience he gets, the more confidence he's gaining. He's been our rookie on offense the last 2 weeks, and he's having a good week of practice this week. So the good news, what we saw this past week at O-line, we were able to rotate seven offensive linemen through, which on a hot day kind of kept some guys fresh. And I think that cohesiveness, when you start to move some of those parts, contrary to the first 2 weeks, we didn't have as many run-throughs or missed assignments up front. And I thought that was the key. Even as we were moving some guys around, that cohesiveness kind of played out both in the run game and in the pass protection.
I'm a big stat guy. One of my favorite numbers from that game was Tim Denham, 25 carries. He was able to handle the load, and we saw the breakaway speed on the touchdown that we haven't seen out of him in a while. So I take it he's progressing.
He is. You know, and that was earned. You know, usually I don't give a running back that many carries unless it's, you know, it's really significant. And Andres was actually running hard and was playing well. It was just, Tim gave us that little extra burst. And part of it was to get Tim's confidence back. Not that he ever lost it, but when you're not 100% in those first couple weeks, you know, and especially he's a guy that puts a lot on himself. He wants to make sure he's performing even higher than the level he performed last year. And I told him it's going to come. Be patient. He's a hard worker. He's committed to it. And, you know, I said, I thought he, and there was a couple runs, he was close to even busting even more. So I think, you know, the combination of how the O-line and tight ends groups played, because I thought our tight ends actually performed really, really well, not just in the run game, but in the passing game. And that was significant as we were doing a lot more two and three tight end sets that game. Part of it is the health of our receivers, as we can combination use those tight ends both flexed out and inside. But yeah, Tim, when he's on, he becomes a really dynamic back, and I thought he showed flashes to it. He's not back 100%, but you know, him even not at 100% is still a very good offensive athlete for us.
How is Rayshon Boswell? He didn't play. Could he have if you felt like you needed him? Was that your decision to sit him out, or is he not doing well still?
He's still recovering, and you know, I didn't want to push the issue. So in terms of his health, still recovering, and you know, in an emergency, maybe he could have, but I don't think he was at the point where I wanted to put him out there. And for me, you look back to the Morrisville State game, you know, there's a sense of pride for him. He wanted to be out there. He knew he wasn't 100%. And then unfortunately, when he put the one on the ground, you know, I think he's holding himself to that. But I want him and any of our guys. So we had other starters. I think we had five offensive starters that, you know, weren't playing. To me, it's going to be when they're ready to come back. You know, I never want to put a player out there until, you know, regardless of an injury, it's more between the ears. Your mindset, you have to be confident you can go perform at either your 100% or whatever your new, you know, recalibrated 100% is going to be, because oftentimes with an injury, you're never going to be 100%. You know, I go back to preseason day one. I always tell the guys that's the best you're going to feel during the season. After that, your 100% changes day to day based on bumps and bruises and just the wear and tear of a physical football season. So, yeah, he was not physically ready to go, and you know, I wasn't going to put him out there until he's ready to come back.
You talked about the passing game looking different, partly by design, partly because of wide receiver injuries, but David Crewson throwing between the hash marks looks like a different guy. He was stepping into throws. I mean, he threw one to Peyton Kay that was about 100 miles an hour. I mean, he had more numbers in week one because he threw the ball more, but he completed 12.9 yards per pass, not per completion, but per throw. I mean, he was a huge factor in that game.
Yeah, and that's the I'm pleased, you know, from working with him directly and with Coach Hoffman together with the quarterback group, the efficiency, you know, and I think sometimes stats can be deceiving. I thought that was actually a better complete game for him than he actually played against Alfred.
Yeah, I agree.
And part of it was, again, because of the run game and because of how we could formationally dictate some coverages, it happened to be that more of the throws were open in the middle of the field, and that's where the tight ends who had been targeted, we just didn't see them as much the first couple of games. You know, we had some big completions there, and I just think David's confidence is, you know, at a higher level than it was last year. And I think that's the key with that position is slowing the game down, trusting your pre-snap reads, and then obviously your post-snap reads. But his progression has come a long ways, and the same thing. There was a couple throws that we wanted back, and I think that's the part of his progression. You know, coaching a fifth year senior is now we can coach him a little bit harder with the eyes of all right, those were good completions. Now let's talk about some of the incompletions, or even maybe some of the completions that could have been even, you know, ball location accuracy. Sometimes it could be your feet, and it all stems from if we can continue to protect the quarterback fairly well. I do think, like I said, we're going to be a much more balanced offense this year than you saw last year.
Here's another stat. This one is from associate producer Caleb Baker. You had 10 possessions in that game. Your first play of each possession averaged 16 yards.
That's pretty solid, right? That's funny.
It's a good way to get started.
We were talking about it. So we always talk about possession, P&10. And we as a staff, we probably evaluate too much stuff. Like we look at a lot of different breakdowns and a lot of different data points. And actually going into that, we had talked about certain things we had saw on P&10 and a different progression. So, you know, stats are big and we crunch a lot of numbers. But yeah, that we actually had the right play call often on those. And then more importantly, we executed. And I think that's the part that we did well in the first half offensively was the offensive execution was strong. The difference, I'll say, is, you know, good teams kick field goals, great teams kick extra points. And we settled for a couple field goal attempts that if we're going to be, you know, continuing this progression, we got to be able to kick more extra points in those situations. And a couple of it came down to that, you know, Fisher made some good plays, but really, that's where we had some of our, we had a couple penalties, a couple missed assignments that cost us on those first and second downs in the score zone. When everything gets tighter, you got to be really efficient. And unfortunately, we settled for too many field goal attempts, and then unfortunately missed a couple of those field goals. So that's the part when I look back on it. I thought we played well. I thought we could have extended that 17-point lead multiple times, and we didn't. And against a really good offensive team on the other side of the ball, you want to stress them a little bit more than keeping it in that three-possession game.
In the special teams, you talked about the field goals. It's hard from the sideline to tell, but it didn't look to me like some of those missed by very much. He's got plenty of leg in these 40 and 45-yarders. I can't tell how far wide they were, but it didn't look like much.
No, he's close. And actually, most of his, and I told Toby that the other day on the field. I said, are you still confident? Because I said, I am, as long as you haven't lost it. And again, that's just a compliment to both all of our specialists, but especially with the way Coach Rip is, the way he and I interact with the kickers. But it's never, hey, why did you miss that? A lot of it's just looking at, was it something small mechanically? Was it their operations? We get back to the minutiae detail to figure out like what led to that. But more importantly, sometimes you might just miss a kick. And he was close on a couple of those, which was really impressive. It was the first field goal attempt, which was, I think, a 46-yarder. I mean, he had plenty of leg.
Yeah.
You know, protection was good. Operations were good. So, in the past, we haven't, with Kyle Hackett, we did a couple longer ones. But it's been a while since we go out and we're going to kick a 46, 50-some-yard field goal. And I have confidence we can. Part of that came down to it was a 4th-and-4 play, and I was close to saying, do we go for it? Did we kick the field goal? And I thought that that opening possession to get the points on the board, and I probably would have done the same thing, today. But we have absolute confidence in Toby and Vicente as well. Both of those, we have two kickers. Both of them are doing very well between the kicking and punting duties. And if they miss a kick, it's more about, all right, let's help them, get their mind right for the next one versus, hey, why did you miss it? Or, why did you shank it? It doesn't happen often with our guys, but I think that's just the way we want to coach our guys. Coach them up hard, but coach them with confidence.
And Vicente doesn't look like a first year. I mean, he's a complete punter. He can boom it for distance and height in the middle of the field, and he can place it down inside the 20. He hasn't kicked one into the end zone.
Yeah, that's probably the most important thing, and you said it. Like, a lot of times freshman kickers, they have this boom, hard, big leg, but they don't have the touch when you get close in. And I think the one thing I've been really impressed with Vicente is that he understands the angles and touch and like what a kick of 80% max capacity would be versus 100. And I think combinations, again, with Coach Rip and what we're doing with our specialists, it didn't look that way against Morrisville in week 2, but I thought our special teams were more sound here in week 3. And it's like anything, we've been up and down in all three phases through the three games. Can we now show consistency? And that's been our big focus this week. Can we come out and play our standard, regardless of opponent, regardless of other factors that come into it, and play at our standards consistently? And that's the hard part, is the consistent word. And anyone can give great effort or focus and whatnot for a little bit, but can we do it over the duration of an entire week? Entire 2 weeks as we kind of try to string this thing along.
Penalties. It's for the second week in a row, you get a nice opening kickoff return, a block in the back that was long after the runner was gone, shouldn't have taken place, and just, again, too many penalties and some in bad situations. How do you fix that?
Well, we actually made an adjustment. I will say, watching on video, the first penalty was not a penalty. It was not a block in the back. The problem was our guy blocked him so well. It was such an aggressive block. He put him down, and the official that called it was about 50 yards away, saw the after effect of a big hit. So during that moment, you're like, wait, we would have been up around the 50-yard line. But the player that was called on actually was a phenomenal block. So sometimes penalties are called that are not legit. There were some other penalties that were completely legit that we got to control. I looked at a couple of them the week before. They were offensive penalties at the wrong times, and we did that sometimes in the score zone. Defense, we extended a couple drives with a late hit or little things there. So one of them was a pass interference on a 3rd and long that, like I said, if we want to be a really great defense, we got to get off the field there. So that's what ultimately led to the second half, the time of possession being out of whack, was offensively we kind of didn't execute at the same level. We missed a field goal, and we only had one possession in the 3rd quarter, and that led to a really good drive, but we settled for a field goal attempt that we missed. And then we only had 2 possessions, and then they were quick 3 and out. So I think the defense needed to get off the field a little bit better, and the offense needed to do a better job securing and converting some of those first downs, which we've done a decent job with up to this point. But again, I didn't think we finished the way we wanted to. Even though the score was 17-0 and everyone feels good, you earned a shutout. So great for the defense, and But offensively, I thought we left some things to be had out there in the second half.
I know that you don't like to get into a lot of detail about injuries, but I know that there's some pretty significant ones. At least a couple of regular wide receivers down. What can you tell us about who you're going to have or not have for week four?
Yeah, so going into last week, I think we had five offensive starters that were out. I don't think they're going to be back this week. So what that's given both last week and this week are opportunities for some younger guys to step up. And honestly, each day, that's the good and bad. Like, we did a cross Pascal on Tuesday against our defense, and our defense looked really, really good. And part of that was we have a lot of young receivers out on the perimeter that were, you know, either physically still developing, still learning schemes, just playing a step slower. So we're trying to gain them some experience and confidence because we're going to need them this week. And at the same time, trying to figure out, between the bigs, the semis, and the skills on offense where we are dinged up. It's the reality of it. We'll never use that as an excuse, but it does change how we're playing. Fortunately, the defense has been a little bit healthier. I think in certain positions where if they have had an injury, they've had someone else that's been able to step up with experience. So we're trying to get the offensive side healthier, while at the same time, it showed a little bit in terms of our scoring the last couple of games. We've been down a little bit from where we wanted to be, but it doesn't matter if we win 2-0 or if we win 52. You know, however we got to score. The one thing I'll always say is that what cost us in week two is we didn't have the three different sides of the ball working in harmony. And I thought we did that better on Saturday, and that's got to be a key moving forward for this week is, can offense, defense, and special teams complement one another? And if we can do that, typically our players are going to play hard and the coaching staff will put them in the right positions. I think we're going to be in positions to win games as long as all three phases can do that.
Keystone College this Saturday, you never disrespect an opponent, but they had no football for over 70 years. They're 0-13 since they've come back. You know, your guys know, everybody knows you're a big favorite in this game. So how do you handle it and keep everybody focused and say, you know, they're a football team too, and if you don't play, you'll be surprised?
Well, our job, and it starts with me first, I can tell you 100%, we're putting all the focus on Keystone. Keystone, I know Coach Higgins very well. He is a very good man. He's a defensive coach. They're going to be organized. They're going to be disciplined. They're going to play hard, and we saw that last year. They've played some close games, and if we talk about it, and this is no different to any of the opponents we've played so far, we never really talk about our opponents. We talk about the standard that Hobart plays at. So our execution, our effort, everything's got to be there, and that's what we focus on. And honestly, it's been a very good week of practice up to through Tuesday and Wednesday, and we'll see how today's Thursday's practice looks. But that's the goal. One of the reasons we've been up and down the last 3 weeks is because that's how we've been practicing. So I think there's a direct correlation. And I don't think it's a lack of ever taking an opponent lightly. It's going to be more as you're mixing in young guys with injuries, with guys with experience, can we now go and perform in a standard? And we're talking about this week, we've been great with study halls, with our workouts in the weight room. Everything that we've done has been raised the bar a little bit. And that should hopefully equal a good opportunity for us to go continue that on Saturday. But it's our first overnight away trip. You're on the road. We haven't played there before. You know, a lot of ways it's a trap game because as much as, people don't want to talk about it, everyone's out there saying you're supposed to beat them. Well, our standard is if we play well and we complement each other in all three phases, we expect we're going to win most games we're going to go out and play at. And that's not a cockiness. That's a confidence in the operations and trust in the process of how we do things. So in a way, I don't mind our guys as long as they've earned the opportunity to go out and perform and never take anything for granted. And I know that Keystone, like I said, they're going to be well coached. They're going to play hard. And we have to play at our standard regardless of opponent and make sure we go earn that victory on Saturday.
Defensively, on paper, they look a lot like you. They play a 3-4 with big guys up front, linebackers who make a lot of tackles. Is their scheme fairly similar in how they play it?
They are. They're going to be much bigger than us up front. So when I say that they're big, they go too deep. That's going to be bigger than our front. So I think that's what you see. Sometimes you're not getting as much recreating the line of scrimmage and knock back against their D-line. And then even if you look at their linebackers, three of their four starters are 220, 225. They're bigger, thicker linebackers. So I think their front seven plays physical with Braun, and then they have some athletic defensive backs that play multiple coverages. Where last week, one of the reasons I thought we played pretty well. Like, we didn't see as many different coverages last week. We were able to dictate certain coverages a little bit more. And I know their coaching staff, well coached, they're going to throw a lot of things at us from a lot of different pressures, a lot of different fronts, a lot of different coverages. So we'll have opportunities to make some plays, but more importantly, we're going to have to really then post-snap really decipher where their movement, their pressures, and where the coverages are coming from.
Offensively, they're not really efficient in the passing game, so it sounds like a game where if you can stop the run, you should be able to dictate the game.
Yeah, last year I thought similar, that their quarterback created a lot of plays with his feet. Once we got him to the point where we had the lead, they were passing, and they still moved the ball, but they have a really good wide receiver who's a very good athlete, who's dangerous. So you got to be thinking at any time he can be a threat. And I think their quarterback's playing a year older and wiser than he was last year in the sense of making some throws and where he puts the ball. But our job is to, as always, try to make a team one-dimensional. If you can stop the run and get him in those second and third and long situations, that typically bodes well for us in terms of what we want to do to get our defense off the field.
Even though they're 0-3, they've scored at least 20 every time out. So they're finding ways to get points on the board.
Yeah, and you look at last week's game. I mean, they had a pick six. They blocked a kick for six. I mean, their special teams and defense have done a really good job to put them in situations to win games. And as you know, if you play hard defense and you're strong on special teams, you're going to be in games. So our job, like I said, is to take care of the football and get off to a strong start here to see if we can give our defense the lead. And then hopefully allow our defense to play where they can't be as patient running the ball as much as they might want to. And then that's what we didn't do in week two. So the other games, when we were able to get to that point when it started to become a second or a third possession game, all of a sudden you now see that. And that's true because I've been there as a coordinator. Sometimes you're like, you want to stay balanced, but it's tough to do when you start to see the clock rolling and it becomes time management and clock management at that point. So, but I know they're going to be fired up to host us. And like I said, this is going to be more about the standard and the execution of how we play more so than our opponent.
In our very first conversation this year, you talked about depth. That depth is getting tested. I mean, that's why you have it.
In the sport of football, you know it's going to happen. Certain years you stay healthier than others. And again, that's why I'll say I'll never use an excuse because every team has injuries. It's just sometimes when you see multiple injuries at the same position, you're forced to use younger guys, or not even say younger, it's inexperienced. So younger could be a junior, younger could be a sophomore, younger could be a freshman. And we are a young team in general, even though we have some experience at the top end. This is going to, I think, again, it hasn't always been pretty. We've been up and down in the last couple of weeks, so I would love to say that we've been playing more consistent than we have been. But I think this is going to be a really good continue to be a test for us because we know week to week that we're going to need certain guys to step up. We're going to have injuries throughout the year. And like I said, I thought we approached this past week against Fisher much better than we did the week prior on and off the field. And I think our preparation, I'm a big believer in process-driven results. I don't worry about the outcome. And as long as you show me the process, we're typically going to be in good shape. And we've started out the week pretty well. Can we finish this week pretty well? That's what we're going to wait and see.
Hobart at Keystone. It's almost exactly a three-hour drive from Geneva. It'll be a 1:30 kickoff on Saturday. Coach, you responded real well last week. Good luck keeping it moving.
We appreciate it. We'll see you on Saturday.
All right. You can find this podcast, of course, at Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. You can get all your athletics news at hwsathletics.com. Go Volleyball. They swept in their home opener. The brand new program is doing well. And go Statesman on Saturday.